Warning: this program contains content that may not be suitable to some listeners. It contains decency, truth, ageless wisdom, a father who cares. It's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Kevin Swanson. Welcome to Generations. This is the program with a generational vision. In studio with us today are my children, Daniel and Emily Swanson. Derek Buhner in studio as well. Thanks, guys, for joining us. And today, we have a couple of stories here. Here's in the What About All the Great Socialization Happening in the Public Schools Department. A story from Idaho. Kids are choking themselves for the fun of it. Evidently, one school had to change the design of the equipment of their towel dispensers because four boys died when they were playing a choking game with the towel dispensers. And six girls up in Idaho at the East Valley Middle School had been suspended after a security camera videotape showed them choking each other in the hallway. One girl, Chelsea, died up there, and a child psychiatrist was quoted as saying, "Kids are doing it because of peer pressure, a cheap and legal high." Well, all I can say is, what about socialization? Our children are missing out. Kids, you're missing out on something. Peer pressure and the choking game.
Well, Kevin, you remember the song, Smoking in the Boys' Room? Well, they need to change it now, too.
Choking ain't allowed in school.
Everybody knows that. Choking ain't allowed in school, neither is smoking. And unfortunately, this sort of thing results in people dying. Children 10 years old, 12 years old dying. That's socialization for you. All right, second story. We have a rising trend of 17, 18, and 19-year-old girls resorting to plastic surgery. Yeah, you got it. Plastic surgery. And for those children listening to us, that's when you're not happy with the body God gave you, and you want a different nose, different ears, different whatever. Students are resorting to breast surgery before starting university because they fear they will otherwise lack the confidence to meet new friends and succeed in their studies. They are also turning to plastic surgery to plump up their cheeks, enhance their lips, and reshape their nose, trying to stay abreast with their academics. Now, what in the world does cosmetic surgery have to do with your academics? Hard to figure that out. But Dave, here's the issue. How many times have they got the message from their fathers, "You're not beautiful"? How many times have they gotten that message? Has their father, they've been raised in a home for 17, 18 years, and the minute they come out of their homes, they want to change themselves, their faces. They're not happy with the way they look.
Well, and my guess is their fathers haven't said to them, "Hey, sweetheart, you're not beautiful." But rather, they've noticed that their father's eyes have turned and their heads have spun around when some other creature who had larger breasts or higher cheeks or a straighter nose walked by. And they've seen that on the television. They've watched their father and men around them for years and years pay attention to those things that were outwardly beautiful and neglected the inward beauty.
Or maybe even more prevalent would be fathers that did not say anything at all. Fathers detached from their homes, detached from their daughters, didn't have the hearts of their daughters. Here's a comment from a breast surgeon on the issue. "Some of these women see university as the starting point of their career. Looks are now much more important in society, and they see this as helping them achieve more to their education and careers. These young women see a good body image being linked to success." And here's some girl named Jazz Deep. "I think looks do determine the group of friends people end up with." She said she was bullied because of her long nose and felt self-conscious. Well, the shallowness of these girls' lives is just about incomprehensible. They're not looking past themselves to anything, are they?
No, they're not. And it tells you that our culture is largely determined by the things that we see, predominantly what we see on television. I'm just thinking, Kevin, if your group of friends is determined by your looks, and you're my friend, what does that say about me?
Yeah. And what does that say about the friendship? Not much. Not much. And what in the world does a career have to do with your looks? I was a manager for a number of years, and you know what? It was a bad idea to hire somebody entirely based upon their looks, because you just don't survive in the free market that way.
You don't buy a book by its cover. You don't buy a car by its body style without looking at the engine. You don't marry a woman because she's beautiful without character. We see it's on and on and on. When you only go shallow, you end up getting ripped off.
The shallowness of our society, our culture, our education, our economics, you name it, is just about mind-blowing. But today we are going to get down to the nuts and bolts of it and say, how do we raise our children? We get beyond the shallow. How do we raise beautiful women of God that the moment they leave the home, they don't see some necessity for breast augmentation? That next on Generations. We'll be back in a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Today the subject is raising beautiful women of God. And we started the program referring to a story about how many 17, 18, 19-year-old girls are looking for breast augmentation because for somehow that's going to help them in their career. And Dave, let's start out the program by saying, you know, we're not saying it's wrong to get cosmetic surgery. Cosmetic surgery has its place.
Well, absolutely it does. And certainly breast surgery has its place. A very dear woman who I used to go to church with had breast cancer, and it was necessary for her to have some breast implants. So we're not against breasts here. I'm all for breasts. I think God had a good idea there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the bottom line is when it comes down to 17, 18, 19-year-old girls that are so concerned about their looks, they want friends, they want a good career, and they think the way to get it is going to be through breast augmentation or by making the lips a little fuller or whatever. Ultimately, we're losing a vision here. We have lost a vision. Our daughters have lost a vision because fathers have lost a vision, and that really comes back to the core of what this program is all about.
Well, I think we don't understand beauty anymore. We want a very crass, sexual sort of appeal, but we've lost what is truly precious, what is truly beautiful. I mean, what is it that makes a pair of eyes sparkle? Mm-hmm. And yet the same pair of eyes can be dull.
What is it that is of value to us? What do we want? Is all we want something that looks like whatever shows up on the cover of a Playboy magazine? Is that our value in life? If so, we are shallow. And maybe, this is something you referred to earlier, maybe the reason why our daughters are so shallow in their expectations of themselves is because of what is happening in the father's life. His life is shallow as well.
Yeah, and maybe you just hit on it. Maybe it's because we look at it through what we want instead of saying, what does God want? What does God consider beautiful?
And let's go to that right now. God talks about his vision for beautiful women of God throughout the Bible. If you look at Psalm 144, one of the most popular psalms about children and about raising godly children, we read that part of the vision for our girls is that our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace. So this is something that God envisions for us. It gives us this beautiful picture of these beautiful carved, ornamented stones that formed the foundation of a beautiful palace. And, of course, it's the palace of the King of Kings, Jesus Christ himself. We want our daughters to be like cornerstones. And what does that mean? Well, it means that, first, they're beautiful. Secondly, they have some stability to them. And thirdly, there's some enduring quality there. That cornerstone's going to be there for a while. And I think part of what we want to give our girls is a vision for establishing a future generation, that motherhood is of value. I realize it's not too much of a value today, but as we raise our little daughters, they ought to look forward to a time when they will be mothers. Even from the time they're 2, 3 years old and they have their little dolls and they're taking care of them, they should be getting a little bit of that vision that one day they will be a mother as Hannah was when she said, I will rejoice in the Lord my God. He has exalted my horn because he has given me this precious little boy, Samuel. What a beautiful picture. And that ought to be what beats in the hearts of our little girls as well.
We don't even have to work hard to give that to them. Society works hard at taking it away. Girls will play with the dolls. We hear about grown women and their biological clock ticking. Women are naturally, God ordained it so that they would want to be mothers, that they would pretend to be mothers, that desire is in their heart. All we have to do is cultivate it. We don't have to put it there.
That's right. That's right. And everybody wants a value in life. And what is your value? There is almost nothing that I can think of that we will leave of more value than future generations. That's something that Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, and others have undermined in our worldview, that children are important, but they are critical, they're crucial to the future of life on earth and the future of the kingdom of our Lord and Christ.
And in fact, you could say that there is nothing, absolutely nothing in this world our daughters can do that is more important to God than to bring future souls, saved souls into this world. Mm. They can create the greatest buildings and be architects. Those will pass away.
Yeah.
You know what won't pass away? Is those saintly children that God has called to heaven.
You got it. You got it. Well, 1 Peter 3:3 also brings out a vision for our daughters. And folks, we're talking about a vision that is not shared by the world around us very much. But it is God's vision for our daughters. Listen to 1 Peter 3:3, whose adorning let it not be merely that of an outward adorning, of plaiting the hair, of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden woman or person of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. This is what God considers of great value. So, you know, as we look at our daughters, we say, you know, what do we want our daughters to become? Do we want them to just know how to decorate themselves and that's about it? So all you've got is this external shell with nothing inside. What is of great value to God, Dave, is that beautiful, meek and quiet spirit that is reflected certainly externally as well as internally. Let's talk about how to cultivate that. The meek and quiet spirit is not that obnoxious, domineering spirit that seems to be sold on the front page of every advertisement for women's clothes or whatever. It's a different thing. It's something that involves a submission to mom and dad and an obedient spirit. It involves, obviously, an eventual submission to a husband someday.
Meek has the idea of gentleness. Being able to get something accomplished with as little bit of force as necessary to accomplish it. It has to do with being persuasive, not just how they speak, but in how they act. When your daughters are playing with their younger siblings, and they need to correct their younger siblings, and they're right to do so because maybe something dangerous is happening, do they use a great deal of force? Do they shout? Do they scream? Or are they able to gently and meekly lead them by the hand away from that danger and create peace and safety at the same time?
And the idea of a quiet spirit is one of tranquility, of peacefulness, not a spirit of discontentment, grappling for power, and constantly, you know, fighting the notion of having to submit to mom and dad. This is what a quiet spirit is about.
I think it's very important that you define what a quiet spirit is so that we're not giving the impression that women should be seen and not heard. I think that would be a really false impression. But how their quiet spirit is, they're not fighting. They're not fighting for power. They're not like Rosie O'Donnell or Barbara Streisand. It's not all about them being on top. And especially if you have a sister who has younger siblings, how does she exercise her birth order over them? Is she doing it by force or is she doing it through influence? Is she doing it by character? And I think that's where we start seeing that quiet spirit really express itself.
And of course, we're, I think, always tempted to think that unless she expresses herself in a loud, obnoxious, domineering spirit, she will never have an impact in life. She will never accomplish anything in life. But what's interesting about the Word of God is able to work through a meek and quiet spirit to do incredible things, powerful things, influential things for the cause of Christ.
Well, and that's because normally we expect that our daughters will be married and raise children. And that's where her influence will be expressed, in fact, amplified. It'll be through the work of her husband and through the generations of her children. It takes a lot of faith. Just like for a father, it takes a lot of faith to have a generational vision. But it's the faith in God and His providence and in His working out in history.
Folks, we're talking about the raising of beautiful women of God. God calls them cornerstones, polished after the likeness of a palace. He calls them beautifully adorned with a meek and quiet spirit. And moreover, we've got lots of data from Proverbs chapter 31. This is, of course, the classic passage on a vision for daughters, and what we find here is the character trait of diligence. I mean, this woman is a busy woman. She's involved in the economy of the home. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships that brings her food from afar. She rises while it's yet night, gives meat to her household, a portion to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it with the fruit of her hand. She plants a vineyard, on and on and on and on. At least 80% of Proverbs 31 speaks about a woman that is contributing to the economy of a household. And Dave, this is not the Victorian picture of that beautiful little doll that you put on a shelf and she has no use to the home. She's active. She's involved. This is something we ought to train into our children, our little daughters.
We should teach diligence to our daughters. We should teach them that they're, as the proverb says, they're more precious than rubies. Proverbs also speaks of the other woman, doesn't it, Kevin?
Mm-hmm. Proverbs 5, the early verses, warn our sons about the other woman who tears down the house with her hands and tempts a man into adultery and fornication.
And the Proverbs speak about how a wife who is complaining, who doesn't have a meek and quiet spirit, what value she is. She's like a constant dripping. It says, it's better to sleep on the roof than to have to sleep under the same roof with this woman. So we want to train our daughters not to be that drip, 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 drip that wear people down, not to tear their house apart, but to work with their hands, to build it up, and to share their husband's vision, their future husband's vision, for generations of faithfulness, to build God's kingdom with stones, living stone.
Dave, you're talking about the character trait of careful and wise speech. Verse 26 of Proverbs 31 says exactly what you were saying. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. So what she speaks is kindly and gentle to those that are around her. This is not the dripping. This is not the complaining woman. This is not the domineering, bossy woman. This is one who is contributing, edifying conversation in the home. And that's something we ought to train our girls in. It's probably the most prevalent sin for girls. They use their mouth in the wrong sort of way, and that can be a challenge. All right, finally we have the character trait of unselfish conscientiousness. This lady is very concerned about feeding her household, clothing her household, and most certainly she stretches out her hand to the poor and reaches forth her hands to the needy. She really cares about those that are in need, whether it be in the church or in her neighborhood. She's looking out for the needs of the poor. So this is the Proverbs 31 woman. This is the person that we want to train in these beautiful women of God that he has given us in our homes. And Dave, you know, the Bible doesn't have a lot to say about how much makeup to put on or what sort of earrings to buy. The Bible doesn't give you a lot of standards, but it does speak to the heart. And that's the point here today. The meek and quiet spirit is God, what God wants. God wants a vision of cornerstones. God wants character traits of diligence, unselfish conscientiousness, careful and wise speech. God wants these sorts of things. And as we cultivate these sorts of things, my guess is balance in terms of how they look will come naturally.
God loves beauty. We have examples of earrings, of nose rings. You know, that would be counterculture now to have a nose ring. But there's examples of that in the Bible. So the Bible is cross-cultural. It doesn't really say you can't do makeup or you should do makeup or how much makeup. Right. But it does talk about a countenance, a woman's adornment coming mostly from within. It talks about a woman honoring her husband, even in wearing a hat or how Sarah did it. So a woman should probably be dressing to please her husband if she's married. If she's not married, the principle of modesty, that she doesn't stumble the weaker brother, that she doesn't dress in such a way that it distracts the young man who's trying to focus on God and worship. But she should also not make herself look as plain as the day is long, because that's a form of immodesty also.
Right, and when somebody comes into your church or somebody comes into your circle of friendships and they're dressed like a prostitute, what can you say about her heart? See, really what is said on the outside is only a reflection of what is cultivated on the inside, isn't it?
I think it is. I think sometimes young girls especially don't understand the effect they have on boys and men. But also, I think she's communicating in her dress and her appearance that my value is for sexual intercourse. But how about the woman who says, not only am I beautiful, but I'm beautiful because I love God. Now that is something precious. That's worth more than rubies.
That's somebody who's got it right, and hopefully will express that externally in the right sort of way. Folks, we are talking about raising beautiful women of God, an extremely relevant issue for us as we are raising daughters ourselves. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson, and the program is Generations. Folks, the question today, does she need breast augmentation to be a beautiful woman of God? That was the issue of discussion today on Generations. As we wrap up the program, several practical tips that will help you as you become a father and a mother for this child. First of all, fathers and mothers can teach humility and meekness by being humble. Fathers can be submissive by submitting to God's word and being accountable in the church. You can teach your children that they are valuable by valuing them, by showing them that they are of great value to you. Moreover, you can give them a vision for what a husband is, because those girls will want a husband someday. And what sort of husband will they want? You can give them a vision for that husband. Men, by being an exemplary husband to your wife, cherishing your wife. You can also teach your daughters to submit. Submit to her father. One day she'll have to submit to her husband, but if she's learned a lesson in the home, that will help her magnificently. One day she'll be a helper for a husband. Teach her how to help around the house. Teach her to look well to the needs of her household now. She can learn to cook the meals or set the table. These sorts of things. Well, lots of good ideas here today on Generations as to how you can raise a beautiful woman of God, one that will shine and be a cornerstone in the palace of a king. Now I'd like to recommend a resource that will help you in your home. It's a new resource. We just bought these for two of our daughters, Rebecca and Emily. It's called Raising Maidens of Virtue, a study of feminine loveliness for mothers and daughters by Stacy McDonald. An excellent resource for your family library. You can get this book by calling 877-842-CHECK, 877-842-CHECK, or on the web, it's checkbooks.com, checkbooks.com. You can email me at kevin@check.org. I welcome your emails. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.